from the HananiahAutos.com studio. This is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we are at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Jacksonville Pete Prisco. CBS Sports senior writer down in Fort Lauderdale at the CBS Sports Studios. Plenty to get to tonight. Your calls in the second hour. Jags fall to the Packers 27-23. What happened on the last play? On the offensive side,
they got stopped. JP.
We'll get to that.
I don't know if you saw it.
I was there. We'll break it down. Non calls. We just talked about that with Frank Frangie and crew. Jaguars defense. What happened there? And some injury updates as well, including Chris Ivory, who missed the game yesterday. Pete, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Hey,
nice to see you.
I've got to say,
USC shirt on. I don't know why.
Yeah, look at that. I would have thrown all mine away if I was a USC.
That's because you're a fair weather fan. I'm not.
Because we win.
I'm loyal.
If you're watching us tonight, you should be. If you're not listening to us, well, you might not hear this. But
you can go
to Jaguars.com or the Jaguars app, and you can watch this broadcast and watch Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale tonight too. How about that?
Do you see me, Tony?
I can see you. Is there a way to black that part of the screen out? Like if I was watching the show on the internet, I'd want to find a way just to see me and not Pete.
Of course you would. It's all about you.
I'm much
you.
Better looking.
If it's good for you, it's good for you.
I don't think so. You look like Kyle Korver.
Pete. Pete. You look like Humpty Dumpty.
No,
like
I don't.
Big old
I'm
fat
lean.
Bald head. No, you're not lean.
I'm lean.
Pete.
Yeah,
you're
I am
not
lean.
You're not lean,
I'm lean,
Pete.
I'm lean.
You're as wide as you are tall.
No, I'm not. I'm lean
you're
now.
You're 5'3".
I was
250.
Down 20 pounds.
Yeah, because you almost died. That doesn't count.
I'm down. Well, you're down 70 pounds because you went to Dr. GPSESSOSOSO.
Actually, it's closer to 80, Pete. I like all my way off.
I heard that commercial today for the first time, Pete, on the way in, and I laughed my head off in the car. It was unbelievable.
I'm glad you got a kick out of it. You might want to go.
JP, what
you might want to try it, JP.
We're going to play the Tony Boselli Greatest Hits commercial.
Oh.
And we're going to have
– I might put a CD out, but I guess they don't make CDs anymore. But can I sell those
Sports
on –
Sports Coach Coats.
Can I sell them on iTunes?
We'll
or
drink
Google
the water right out of the kitchen sink.
Kitchen sink, huh? Now I got selling car insurance, kids, problems.
I heard that one today. You're worried about your kids driving, huh, Tony?
I am worried about my kids driving more ways than you know.
Let's get to it, guys. Jaguars fall 27-23. Right after the game, the initial thing was this 4th-and-1 play. How in the heck could you throw it behind the line of scrimmage? What is Greg Olsen doing? And then in hindsight, the box is packed with guys. It was a run-pass option. That was a play they had run earlier in the game. They defended it very well and stopped the Jags. What do you make of the 4th-and-1 play?
Well, it's a run-pass option, and, you know, he could have it's actually three options. He can throw it. He can hand it off to Yeldon, or he can keep it and go out the backside. But you know what the right answer is on that? It's one that works. And so everyone thinks, he should have held it or run it or whatever. And he threw it. It was a play that got, I think, 11 yards earlier in the game. The corner made an outstanding play, and it wasn't a great block by Allen Robinson. I think if Allen Robinson gets a great block like he did earlier in the game, Allen Hurns might run through that leg tackle and just get a first down. Maybe not. It didn't happen, and that was the game. So I think the third down was more of an issue. That looked out of sorts. And Blake didn't look, if you watch the tape, the all 22, he looks like he's not sure, almost like he steps forward and wants to run the ball. Like a quarterback sneak from the shotgun, which that doesn't work very well. And then he just kind of throws it in there when he realizes that not on the same page. So I thought, third down was I had a bigger issue of not having the execution where you want it to be. Fourth down, if Allen Hurns splits it, and it's a good better block maybe, and he splits the defenders, he walks into the end zone because there's no over-the-top help, we're all saying, what a great call. What a gutsy. Yeah, we like that call. And so – I'm not a big question the play caller when – I mean, if it's obvious, sure.
I am.
I know you are. My only criticism would be in that situation, because if you complete that by the time, let's say he gets the first down, by the time you spike it, you probably only have one more play left.
That's right.
So, fourth and one, maybe take a shot in the end zone. Maybe say that's our last play. We're going to take a shot in the end zone and throw it down the field more. I don't know. I thought the bigger error was on third, in my opinion.
Well, okay, Tony, if it was a run-pass option and you were concerned about the clock limiting you to one play, if you complete that pass and get tackled, what does the run option do?
No, it's the same thing. No,
So why even consider a run-pass option play there? It makes no sense.
Well, listen, there's 24 seconds left on the clock, or 23 when the ball got snapped. If you run it, and it's going to take 12 seconds, so you're going to have 14. Let's say you have 12 seconds left, and you get the first down. Technically, you spike it. You have 12 seconds left in the game. Technically, you can get two plays off.
But why limit yourself to that?
What do you mean? What else do you want to do? Even if you throw it in, what are you going to do?
Take a shot to the end zone.
Then you only have one play. You know, instead of having two shots.
If you complete it, the game's over.
And if you don't, the game's over. But if you get the first down, you
have to the side, or throw one to the sideline.
Yeah. No,
I mean, that was a bad – I just think either way they went there, it wasn't a great play call.
It didn't bother me as much. The third down one was where I thought was the bigger issue. Because there was not conviction in that third down play call.
No, but Tony.
It looked like – to me, watching the tape, looked like there's some confusion.
So, Tony, on the third option of that play is for him to
– Yeah, it's a zone
run
read. Yeah, zone read.
And pull it out and run it.
Yeah. Which might have been the best play, because they're all stacked inside. He might have gone to the house.
Well, the box was stacked, so the run was – that was an immediate pass situation for them, right?
They should have run
– Well, sometimes when you have that box stacked, I mean, no different than what Pete likes to do on the goal line when they stack it up. If you get through that initial wave, you're going to – you know, you're going to get the 1 yard easy.
Yeah.
Or maybe more. So, Tony, you can run that play into the blitz.
I would have run something similar to the play they ran at fourth down and picked up the 5 yards or whatever it was when they bunched and ran Robinson into
the middle. Problem was, now they didn't have – I mean, they were bringing the house, Pete, so you might not have time to get that off.
I think you'd be able to get it off. I don't know. I didn't like the play call at all. Didn't like it. And it bothers me even more as a play call when you know you come to the line of scrimmage and it's a run pass check. I – bet deep down Blake didn't like either one of those, and he couldn't call timeout to get out of it because he didn't have any.
Well, again, I go back to the third downs, the bigger issue. It was like almost a waste of play. It was a non-play.
It was a bad play.
Well, he just threw it in the back. It was like, if you watch him, he steps up like he's in a run. I mean, it's just,
It almost looked like he called the wrong play, or he called a play that he thought was going to be run and then realized that's not the play I'm running. It was weird.
So.
And Robinson could have caught the ball in the end zone for a touchdown.
Which one?
The jump ball in the corner. It was a duck.
It needed to be a little higher. It was a good defensive play. Good defensive play.
He had his hands on it.
Yeah, but so did the defender and knocked it out. They both had their hand on it.
Should have caught it. I'm picky. Should have caught it.
You're not picky. You're an idiot. I mean, you say things that are nonsensical.
It wasn't like it was in his hands. He should have caught it.
Pete, it was the other guy's hands were on the ball, too.
For all this talk about 70-30 guy in the offseason, 75, that's what Pete's talking about.
Well, he is he's a great player.
Who? Allen Robinson?
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player.
Yeah, he's absolutely. Allen Hurns had a great day.
He's one of the best receivers in the league, and they took him away a little bit and for a while there. And Demaryius Randall's a hell of a corner now. He's going to be a big-time corner.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's a good football player. But – you know, we'll break it down, but I hate being left in a situation where you don't have the timeouts. That just, it's one of my all-time.
I don't disagree. We said it on the broadcast. It's like, I was thinking, oh my, you know, that's the last thing we need to see.
We'll come back in a moment and start breaking it down. The Jags fall to the Packers yesterday, 27-23. Namaste, Jags fans. Yoga day at Everbank Field is Saturday, September 17th. Namaste.
I don't know what that means.
That means, I don't know.
That's some yoga term that JP does when he goes to the yoga.
Join the Jags for a one-of-a-kind.
Do you wear the tight pants
yoga
when you go?
Yeah, maybe. Yoga experience at the 50-yard line. Register today at jaguars.com/yoga. Like, I've never done yoga in my life.
How many people can come?
It's on the field, on the 50-yard line. however many people can fit on the field and do yoga.
There's no limitation of signing up.
Probably not. Check it out, jaguars.com/yoga.
I might go do it.
September 17th, Pacelli will be there.
A little downward dog.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Passion for the game runs deep.
Entertainment capital of the world when you don't have football.
The Timeline, last day in L.A., Wednesday at 8.
You know, the passion for the game runs deep. And the expectations for this season, I just feel like, are so much higher. And every game is important. You know what I mean? And that was a close one. That's one we should have won. And everybody in this locker room truly feels that way, that we should have won that game.
Telvin Smith in the locker room just a couple of hours ago as we continue on Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco will be back with us shortly. Oh, we got him back.
I'm here.
Hey, there you are.
Am I going to get in trouble for having this coffee up here?
Yeah, you probably are.
By who?
Where'd you think I went, J.P.?
Well, you're not on the video anymore.
Thank goodness. So at least we have your audio.
You can't see me now?
It says I'm perfect.
Back on you.
Perfect.
I'm glad you're here. It's good to have you, Pete. This is pretty awesome. Check us out on Jaguars.com as well. All right, let's continue to break this thing down. You know, do you want to stay on offense, guys, or go defense? Because I thought the defense, you know, they had two long marathon drives in the second half.
You know, you realize that for up until the 12-minute mark of the fourth quarter, they had one drive in the second half?
Unbelievable, right? So they gave up. You know, long distance in those two drives defensively and settled for field goals, which was nice to stay in the ball game, and then got a three and out when they needed it to get the ball back for the Jaguars offense. I thought that was pretty gutsy towards the end of the game there.
You know, it was a situation where they had to go for the field goal because it was 4th and 12. I mean, it was the right play.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm sitting there holding my breath a little bit because after the previous two drives of being super long drives – the thought of the Jags getting them off in three and out didn't look like in our favor, let's just say that. And I give the defense a ton of credit. They did an outstanding job of getting that three and out, big time. And a gaffe by Aaron Rodgers of trying to call back-to-back timeouts.
How about that? Huh? You don't see that often, Pete.
No, that was bad. Hey, let me ask you this, Tony. I'm usually play-by-the-book guy when it comes to situational football. And in that situation, I'd probably take the field goal, too. But a case can be made for not taking the field goal there.
On 4th and 12?
I'm with you. What if it was 4th and 7?
4th and 6 or less, I'd go for it.
You would?
Okay. Yeah, I would. Just the way the last two drives went. And I don't know why 6 is my magic number.
you got statistics
for that? Yeah, I don't either.
That.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I just thought that you were playing against a team that had driven the ball on you twice for long drives, so you're concerned they're going to move it again and you're never going to get it back. Now, they got it back, clearly, and they could have won the game. But, what you know, the skeptics out there, and I got some of this from people on Twitter, will say, why take that field goal? Now, me, normally, I would say, I take the field goal because if I go get that touchdown, I'm winning. I'm not just tying you. What do you say to that?
I think the right call was to kick the field goal, Pete. And you got your defense. Excuse me. I know there's a cough button, JP. It happened.
It's a cough button.
It happened
right there.
Too fast.
It's in front of you. It says cough on it.
It got stuck. I had a.
What's wrong with you?
I had a sunflower seed.
It's your first broadcast ever. It's a cough button.
Let me try it.
It works. Congratulations.
My first. Ow.
Joe just hit him in the head. Anyway.
It's one of those things that happened quickly. I couldn't help it.
Go ahead.
Sorry, everyone listening. I know they had those two long drives, but overall, the defense played well. I mean, they gave up 27 points. 7 of those won a short field after an early turnover. Another 7 on one of the most amazing plays I've seen a quarterback made with a guy hanging off him, throwing it into a tight window. Yeah. I mean, it was unreal. There's not another quarterback in the league who makes that throw. So I thought, you know, I think you kick the field goal. You trust your defense. Now, I mean, it wasn't a chip shot. It was 50-yarder. There's no guarantee that he's going to make that. But it was a great kick by Jason Myers, and you trust your defense because overall they played decently, and they came out and performed when they needed to.
Yeah, I could see I mean, if fourth and 12 is a tough day, I mean, that's
Pete. The percentages are so against you.
Well, the percentages aren't great that he's going to make a 50-yard field goal. Either.
No, that's not true. Go look at Jason Myers' numbers. If you looked at numbers, if you had respect for the stats and analytics, you'd know that they're much higher. It's a much higher percentage of kicking that field goal than going for it on fourth and 12.
Right, but you still need to go get a touchdown.
Yeah, but you win the game.
I mean, look, I can see it both ways. I would personally play it the way he played it. I would kick my field goal and go from there. But I can see where people would say that field goal does nothing unless you go get the touchdown anyways. It's not like you're going to win with a field goal or another field goal.
I get that. Just fourth and 12 is too long, Pete. Well, too low of a percentage.
Fourth and 5 at midfield is too long for a lot of people, too, and it's not too long for Gus.
Yeah, how about that? The Jags were 3-of-3 on fourth down conversions. Got another
like
on penalty. Yeah, were you surprised they went for it so early?
I did not like the first one.
I didn't either.
Was that the fourth and 6
on the their own 48 early in the first quarter, I believe.
Yeah, bad call. Bad call. He got away with it. Bad call. What's the rationale behind that? You're giving
the rationale the was, you know, the rationale is you already lost the possession with the
interception,
so you're trying to steal possession back.
Wasn't the fourth and that one, didn't it already come after they pinned two punts inside the, or one punt inside
two.
The five?
I think it was two inside, one or two. No, maybe one.
Well,
I think it was only one.
But still, he just shown he could do it. Why not punt him in again? I didn't like that one at all. And he got away with it. And guys get away with bad coaching all the time, but he got away with that decision. It was a bad – there's no rhyme or reason to making that decision other than you're emotionally caught up in the game and you think you should go for it. I mean,
I disagree with that, Pete. No, that's way too broad of you're emotionally caught up. No, I think Gus Bradley came into this game saying we need to be aggressive and try to steal possession here or there against the best quarterback in the league. According to Pete Prisco, he's the best quarterback in the league by far. That's what
fourth
you said
two.
Last week.
Fourth and two, fourth and one, fourth and whatever? Come on. That's fourth and six from the 48? I mean, you can play that game all along, Tony. I mean, you can go fourth and seven from the your own 35 if you want to try and steal possession. I didn't like it.
Come on, Pete.
Well, that was 13 yards different.
You're being ridiculous.
It's 13 yards different.
You're being ridiculous.
It's 13 yards difference. Wasn't it fourth and six from the 48? Is that what it was?
You're being ridiculous, Pete.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm being rational. That was an irrational football decision that he got away with. You don't think
agree
it was,
to disagree.
You don't think that's an You don't think that's irrational?
No, I don't think it was irrational. I wouldn't have done it, but I don't think it was irrational.
But then you think it's irrational then?
No. I disagree with a lot of things you say, and most of the time I say you're irrational, but every once in a while I don't think you're being irrational. I just disagree, and I think you're wrong. It's not being irrational.
If you're disagreeing with me, you're usually wrong. You're entitled to
But
your
just
wrong
because
opinion,
you disagree with somebody, Pete, doesn't mean the other person is irrational. You're the what's wrong in this world today, that if some you have a differing opinion, you think they're crazy.
Tony, I don't think he's crazy. I just think you get caught up in the
typically
emotion
irrational,
of the game.
Typically, if someone's irrational, people seem to think they're a little bit crazy.
It was fourth and 5 at the Green Bay 48.
So, Pete, have you ever
early had, second quarter?
Pat, second
that's
quarter.
A bad call.
Pete, did you ever have an irrational girlfriend?
No.
Never. You never dated an irrational person?
Probably.
Okay,
you
probably once or twice called her crazy?
No, I don't call people crazy. Oh. Irrational.
It's the same thing.
That was an emotional, caught up in the game, irrational decision. That's what I'm saying.
I wonder what they call it. That's what I want to know.
Tony, you don't think that's an emotional decision made there?
No. I think it was calculated. I think it was calculated, and I think going into that game, he had determined that he was going to be aggressive.
Being aggressive on fourth and one from the 40-yard line, the opponent's 40-yard line is one thing. Being aggressive on fourth and – what was it, fourth and 5, JP, from the 48?
Fourth and 6. Was it fourth and 5 or 6?
Fourth and 5. Sitting here looking at the play list.
I just
what
asked.
Do you want? Jeez.
Fourth and 5 from your own 46.
There
That's
were three
irrational.
Out of four. They're 75% on fourth down.
I don't care, Tony. You got to play the percentages.
Well,
you got to
like,
play the
That's
game.
The percentages. The percentages – that is the percentages.
Fourth down on the 30-yard line and the opponent's 30 is a lot different than the fourth down on your own 48.
We're going to kick the field goal if you're on the 30. Come on.
You're defending that decision. I just say yes or no. Yes, you defend that call. You think it was a good call.
Let me say this, Pete, because I actually can disagree with somebody and still think they're rational and have a valid thought the process through and have, you know, can make an argument for it. So while I would not have made that call at that point, I would have punted it and tried to pin them deep again. I understand, and the rationale makes sense to me. I just wouldn't have chosen that strategy or that game plan at that point.
Then you don't think it was a good call. Just say it.
No, that's what I just said, Pete. I'm not going to sit here and say he's irrational.
He was caught up in the moment. He got caught up in the emotion.
And I disagree with that.
You don't think that was an emotion? That's an emotional call.
It's not an emotional call. If you make the decision before the game, you're going to be aggressive. And you feel like you lost a possession. You're going to try to steal one back. And it was already your game plan to steal back. And you're basically at midfield. You go for it. That's a strategy.
Look, it's one thing to be aggressive when you're on the opponent's other side of the field.
Pete, when you go to school, look up the definition of irrational, because I don't even think you know what it means.
You're being irrational
a writer
right now.
You're supposed to write for a living. You're supposed to be able to understand the English language. Now I can see your ugly face.
You know why you're getting flustered?
I'm not flustered.
Because you agree with with me and you just won't say it.
GP, shut up.
You agree with me and you just won't say it.
No, I don't agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you while I disagree, and I would not have made that call, but I do not think he acted emotional and irrational.
I do.
At this point, I'm very confused.
So you're basically calling Gus crazy.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah, it was a crazy decision.
I'm going to tell off this stuff. That's crazy. You think he's crazy?
I don't think he's crazy. It's a crazy decision.
We'll come back in a moment and continue this conversation.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do. Phone lines will open up in the second hour tonight. The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I mean, there's still some things that I'm not like myself just yet. You know, certain movements, still false stepping here and there, you know, not pushing off as violently as I want to. So still some things that I have to continue to get stronger at. And Marlo and his staff are doing everything that they can to make sure that I'm doing in the weight room so it translates to the field.
Kelvin Beachum, Jaguars left tackle today in the locker room after the Jags fell to the Green Bay Packers yesterday in week one. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli here in Jacksonville at the HananiaAutos.com studio. And down in Fort Lauderdale tonight is Pete Prisco, senior writer.
JP, I want to read you something real quick.
Oh, dear. What's
ready?
Up?
Ready? Irrational. Yeah. Ready?
Yes.
Not logical or reasonable. Not crazy. Doesn't say anything about crazy, Tony.
Okay, let me just ask everyone here, and Joe, please get on the mic and try him on, and this is our esteemed producer. If Hollywood from the back channels could say something, I'd ask him too. Is if somebody's – what is say it again, not logical and what?
I said the decision he was being irrational.
Okay, tell me what they're –
and emotional.
Say what it said again about irrational.
Not logical or reasonable.
Okay. Joe.
Go ahead.
Why do you have to ask Joe?
Because you're not married. If your wife is acting not logical about something or unreasonable about something, have you ever referred to her as acting crazy?
I didn't say crazy, Tony. You're
putting
words
in my mouth.
No, I'm
asking a question.
See, now you're saying acting crazy.
She's crazy. You've never said she's crazy about something? If she's being unreasonable and not logical?
No.
You're a liar.
No, I've said she's crazy.
Yeah, she's crazy.
But it's not because
she's listening.
But it has nothing to do with being illogical. If she's got an opinion.
If someone's not logical, they're crazy.
No. No, it doesn't.
No, Tony.
That's not what that means.
The decision was irrational. The decision was made him. He was irrational when he made the decision. It doesn't mean he's irrational all the time. That's all
I'm saying. Okay, but you're saying.
And you threw crazy in there.
No, you're saying.
It doesn't mean crazy.
No, but I think a lot of people listening, if someone's irrational, not being logical, unreasonable about –
That doesn't mean crazy.
About a certain subject, you'd be saying they're acting crazy.
No, that doesn't mean they're crazy. You're way off base, Tony.
I disagree.
I got to go with Pete on this one.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, yeah. Bo.
I've not been wrong ever.
So he's been, so wait.
Until
so
right now.
Joe said you're wrong. JP said you're wrong. I know you're wrong. And anybody else who chimes in would say you were wrong. So
let's talk about Kelvin Beecham.
Yeah, offensive
line. Let's
talk
about being irrational.
We heard from
Why
Beecham.
Why do I do this? Beecham. Why?
That's fantastic. We heard from Beecham at the top of the segment there. Beecham, Jokel at left guard, Linder at center. What'd you make of the left side, Bo?
So let me start. Let's just talk about, because Beecham was on the sound. So let's talk about him. I thought everything I thought going in is he's a natural pass blocker, very smooth. They had no worries of matching him up one-on-one with Clay Matthews or Nick Perry or whoever was going to be out there. But he got his knee tired in the second half, and you could tell. And it was most obvious when on the Morgan Burnett sack, he set outside, and you could see him trying to transition back inside because he overset a little bit. And you saw him try to transition off that left leg, which is the surgically repaired one, and he couldn't. And it was late in the game, hot day, and he played about three times as many plays as he had up to that point. And you could see it at that point, and as I continued to watch him, even though he was getting the job done, you could see he was, I don't want to say having to cheat, but he was using all his veteran skills to make sure he could to cut the angle off and because he was not moving the way he wanted to. And his run blocking isn't where he wants it to be as well. You can tell he just, especially as he got tired as the game wore on, he just doesn't have the push. Early, I mean, he had some really good run blocks and did some good things. So, but that, I expected that. And he's a pro. I mean, he's a good pass blocker, and he doesn't have to be 100% to block outside pass rushers. He is crafty. He knows what he's doing. He understands angles, and that's only going to get better. So the overall the offensive line, I thought the protection was good. They had like two sacks. They were on pressure, on blitzes. One is. Thomas, the linebacker, picked up Denard Robinson and threw him into Blake Bortles, and there was no chance to do anything else. For the most part, I think there was only a total of seven pressures on Blake all night or something like that. I think that's what the stats bear out. I thought he had time, clean pocket for the most part, and that's with a lot of blitzing. Run blocking, early I thought it was okay, pretty good. They were controlling line of scrimmage, they were getting some push. But when you are facing a team that's going to run blitz the way that Dom Capers did in the Packers, they had a high percentage of run blitz on first and second down. Two things have to happen. One, you got to, as the quarterback, when you're up there, you got to make sure you pick the right side to run to. Two, I think some of the slow developing plays were not great because of that blitz got penetration. And the final thing is if you're going to run that zone scheme, which they're pretty good at, you got to stay on blocks a little bit longer. And have the mentality and not allow guys to get on the edge, because if they get on the edge, that's where they get the penetration. So get guys squared up, especially those littler guys running through, and they're running full, and they timed it up well. Because if you do that and you can crease them, you're going to get to the next level. But they did a lot of stuff. They moved guys around. They brought Morgan Burnett down a lot, pinching Clay Matthews and bringing, the strong safety blitz off the edge. That hurt them in the run game quite a bit. I just thought the run blocking, I'd like to see a little bit more finish out of the unit. But overall, I mean, Luke, I thought the offensive line was, good, not great. Good in the pass and just average in the run. Missing Chris Ivory really hurt him. In a day like that with that heat and what you were asking to do, Yeldon, in the blitz pickup in the pass game, you needed another back. And yeah. I like Denard. I'm just not sure he's the he's not a natural.
He got run over.
Well, I'm not even talking about that, but I'm just talking about the running ability. There's obviously – that's why we paid Chris Ivory all that money. There's a big difference in not having him hurt.
Tony, on a lot of those runs – at least from the TV tape, and I haven't watched the 22 tape, but a lot of those runs, it looked to me like they were asking the wide receivers in those formations to kind of block down, and they were getting blown up.
Yeah, Morgan Burnett had a good game. And they did a couple
Matthews
times.
Matthews blew him up.
Well, that was
that one play.
Yeah, that was they were trying to get outside a little toss crack play where they pulled the line and blocked down and whatever play, whatever. That's one Greg Olsen needed to never call again if Clay Matthews is out there, because Allen Hurns isn't going to block him yesterday, tomorrow, the next day, or any day after that. That ends in Y. That's not going to happen. So I did not. I thought that was, you talk about bad calls. I just. That's a bad design. I just think you're asking a guy to do something he can't do. The biggest issue on the blitz, the run blitz stuff, was the where I'd be critical of the offensive line. They give up too much penetration, and penetration kills the run game, especially when you're trying to go zone, and or some of the slow developing counter stuff they're trying to get going. And so you got to be really gap sensitive when they're blitzing. Guys are coming from everywhere. They're hitting it on the run. You got to be really sound in your technique, and I thought there were some breakdowns in that.
I'll say this, though. As a whole, I thought, you know, the offensive line did a solid job.
Yeah, I did, too.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't – and for all the people in town that have been lighting up Jokel
– he played fine against Mike Daniels.
Yeah, he did some – on the touchdown run, I know it was a double you know, but he didn't need the double. He was handling by himself.
I thought Luke played against one of the better three techniques, defensive tackles, in layman terms, in the NFL. Mike Daniels is a very good player. He had 11 sacks last year.
Really good player.
11
really
sacks, right, Pete?
Yeah. And I thought he did a really good job. I thought he did a good job.
I did, too.
By the way, I do have some PFF grades for us later on.
We'll get into that. Your favorite, Bo. PFF grades. They're back.
I'm not going to get mad this year about them.
I bet you do.
I bet you will, too.
Nope.
We'll come back in a moment and get to the injury report, some updates on a few injured Jaguars. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name.
Hold on.
Can I read the
–
what's wrong with you?
Because you forgot one more thing we got to talk about.
We got to go to break.
We got plenty of time.
What do you want?
We got to talk defense.
Yes. We'll talk defense. We got a whole other hour.
No, we don't. We got phone calls. We got a lot of stuff to do. You got to keep on your game, JP.
The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank.
New name, same game.
Put you on the Game Day Express, Bo. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
What I am surprised is I really felt like we were going to win this game. So that's a good sign. It's a good sign for our team, too. Because there's a difference between you expect to win and you know you're going to win. When you know you're going to win, you're shocked if you lost. And that's what this team's feeling now. And I think that's a good step for our team. It's a good step. We don't accept the loss. We do not accept it. But how they're handling it now, you know, it shows me a lot about them.
Head coach Gus Bradley this afternoon, his day after press conference. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco. The video stream is back up. It was down for just a moment. So thanks for those of you watching us tonight and watching Pete down in Fort Lauderdale.
You think we have
phone lines are open.
You think we'd have more people watching if Pete was not shown his face picture?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Right.
What if we knocked you out one night?
Oh,
would the
ratings
go up?
Would drop.
Through the roof.
Drop.
They go so far up it would be unbelievable.
Oh, drop like a rock.
And you know, and what about us? We'd all get a little more time to speak because Tony hogs the mic all the time.
It would be a great conversation, Pete. I think we'd have a really nice show together.
How smooth would it be
if Tony wasn't here?
Be like the old days, Pete. Like when you had a show and I was on it.
When you got canceled. Yeah. It's great.
I got canceled. Did you ever have a show, Vaselli?
Yeah. I retired.
You did?
Yeah.
You retired.
No, you me, Jeff, and Dan had a morning show.
Yeah, you were.
They're still doing it. You're not on it.
I left. Contract dispute.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm actually back on Monday.
You were a sidekick.
No, I was the kick. I was it. I was the man. They wanted to change the show to Tony with two other guys, and I said no. It's not fair to Dan and Jeff.
I can't imagine you and Prosser with the two shortest fuses in the entire city doing a show together.
No, Prosser's fuse is way shorter than mine.
No, yours is the shortest.
No,
you're like you're so easy. It's like it's so easy to get you going. I could go through an entire start the show and tell you I'm gonna get you going at least five times.
And then
I don't think you can get me going the rest of the way.
Well, once we pull out the PFF grade, you're going
to
get going.
Okay, after PFF. I bet you I can make through PFF. Are we doing that now? What are we doing?
We'll get to it. Yeah, 355-NFL-1. Phone lines are open, so get your calls in. We'll take calls coming up. But yeah,
which position do you want to do?
Pro football focus grades. What do you want?
Let's go offense first.
All right, because they do them differently now. So we'll start at the tackle.
What do you mean they do it differently? They don't do offensive line?
They do it by position. Yeah, they do it by position, but you have to go through the whole thing. So you want to start about the tackles, okay?
Okay.
Which one was better?
Beecham.
Correct.
Yeah, pass, because he was better in pass.
He was, according to them, Beecham was...
He was plus whatever.
The 26th ranked player tackle in the league. And he was better...
Wait, 26 them, out of 64.
Yeah, he was better in pass protection than he was in run blocking considerably. Yeah,
I would agree with that.
Okay.
But the whole ranking is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you play so let me ask you a question. If you play Von Miller,
right,
and you and some other guy plays some fish that can't get out of his stance,
right,
and you're going to grade them on the same scale. I mean, there has to be a curve or something. Come on,
Jeremy Parnell.
That's your dad. Pete,
he was
shut 40th. It down.
Hey, you got him. Pete.
No. Grades are got already him. Bogus.
Got him, coach.
I don't want to hear where they're ranked among the other tackles because that's dumb.
He's 40th. Jeremy Parnell is 40th.
I'm not listening anymore.
Okay, but he was significant. Okay, I'll give you the rankings for the two for the Jaguars players, and you can tell me if you agree with they were good or bad. Is he there?
Yeah,
he's here.
All right. Okay, Parnell. Jeremy Parnell graded red.
Was
in the
Beecham
minus
a green?
Beecham was not a green.
What?
He was yellow.
He had to be green in pass.
It goes green, yellow, orange, and red. And Jeremy Parnell was in the orange.
That's really confusing. That's a lot of comments.
No sense.
And they said Jeremy Parnell was bad in pass protection, but better in the run blocker. Would you agree?
He blocked better in the run, but I don't think he was bad in pass.
All right. Linder.
Oh, positive. I thought he played good in run and pass.
They have Linder as...
Green.
Green. He is in yellow, which is right below green. So they have him playing pretty well. They have him better in the pass protection and in run blocking.
What center is he ranked?
11th.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Whatever.
That's not too bad, actually. And then the guards.
So, yeah. But here's the thing. He's playing a 3-4 head-up nose the entire game. And centers are playing a 4, you know, a 4-4. Uncovered the whole time, just sliding around, looking around. He's driving me crazy about centers. Dave Wydell would be sitting there, you know, just wouldn't hit anybody and just, like, helping out. And I'm on one-on-one by myself out there with Bruce Smith. And he's dancing. And, oh, positive, Dave. Hell of a job.
Right. How about the guards, Tony? Which one played better in your mind?
Jokel had the tougher assignment. I'd say they're about the same.
Pretty close, actually, because Can is the 40th ranked guard and Jokel's the 50th ranked guard.
That's ridiculous.
And
telling me there's 49 guys who played better than Luke Jokel yesterday in the NFL.
They're both in the
red. Don't buy it. Sorry. I can't say for sure because I didn't watch every game. But I'm getting ready to – I'll say this. I'm getting ready to watch Buffalo and New York play. I got that game Thursday night, so I'm going to watch the all 22 of the both their games. And the Buffalo Bills scored 7 points. My guess is their guards weren't any better.
All right, Tony. Was Can better in pass protection or run blocking?
Well, I thought they were all pretty good in run. I mean, pass, there was like really no pressure.
Well, let's put it this way. His pass grade is double his run grade.
Double better?
Double better.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I will say this, Pete. It's hard to give any of them a positive run grade if you rush for 1.8 a yard.
And Luke's run grade
1.8 a carry. I can't argue with PFF on that. I mean, that's the offensive line.
Yep. And Luke's run grade is bad. His is really bad. It's like 49. But his pass grade is awful at 39. What are they seeing? I didn't see that.
Pete, it's a mystery what they watch. First of all, they put these grades out before they watch the All 22. We already made that abundantly clear when we interviewed the guy. What's his name?
Steve Palazzolo.
You can't say his name right.
Palazzolo.
That's not his name.
No, Palazzo.
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 You can't say it.
Palazzo.
No, neither of you can say it.
You're wrong.
It's Palazzo. It's Palazzo.
All right.
Anyways.
Hey, by the way, Tony,
but here's... they're judging this off of TV when they don't even show the box the entire game. You see the offensive line play for the entire play. They follow the ball.
Right. All right, dumb. So here's there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 guards who graded worse than Luke Joeckel, which I think is ridiculous.
What teams are they on? I don't care who they are. The teams.
New England, the one rookie who played 34 snaps. Andrus Pete from New Orleans, a converted guard.
Yeah, they only scored 50.
Pam File from Tampa. And Lyle Collins from the Cowboys.
Oh,
best offensive line ever, according to Pete Prisco.
Not ever.
You like those guys a little too much. They couldn't run it an inch yesterday.
Yeah,
they killed my fantasy team because I thought they'd run it against the Giants defense, which was so bad last year.
So now we know the genesis of your anger.
It all comes back.
It all comes back
fantasy.
To Tony.
I'm going to finish last in fantasy again. I know it.
Shocker.
Go ahead, Pete. All right. Let's do some other positions. Where did Blake – let's go to Blake.
Hold on. You want to go to Blake?
Yeah.
Quarterback. Do you think where do you think he's in?
I bet he's middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Blue is the highest of the high. Andrew Luck out of blue.
I would say Blake. He should be a green. He threw for 330, you know, one touchdown. He had the one interception that was not the most accurate ball but should have been caught. It was tipped.
Top 10.
Yeah, I think that's right. Green.
He's in the green.
Yeah.
Light green. How about
Allen Hurns has to be blue.
No.
Go watch his route running, people. Oh, I'm sorry. You can't because you have the TV copy, so you can't see it.
Allen Hurns, by the way, both Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns are 47 and 50, 44 and 49.
Yeah, tell me 40. One GM who would pick 49 other wide receivers before
Allen
Robinson.
That's not what the grading is. It's on. Let's go to the corners because you said how great they played.
Okay.
Who should be the top-ranked Jaguar corner?
I would say probably Prince, just because he got thrown at the most and he had the most action.
He is, but the poor guy's 32nd of the corners.
Okay, you hold Aaron Rodgers under 200 yards passing, and you don't have a corner who's in the top 10?
No, and not only that.
In a system that you're playing almost either cover three or man?
All right, not only that, Tony, but the other corner, Devin House, even lower at 54. And the other
Devon,
corner,
by the way. It's not Devin.
Devon House, that's what I mean. Yeah. And the other corner, Jalen Ramsey, 73rd.
Pete.
Wow.
Burn the site down. Burn it down. You hold Aaron Rodgers under 200 yards passing with little to no pass rush, and your corners played bad? Come on. What are you looking at?
You.
What are you watching?
First of all,
those grades should not come out. If they wanted more credibility, they wouldn't have the grades come out until they could all watch the All-22.
Telvin Smith is the highest-rated linebacker.
Played very well. Highest linebacker in the NFL?
No, on their team.
Oh. He played well.
And the top defensive lineman is – who should be the top defensive lineman yesterday?
Malik.
I didn't think he did that much yesterday.
He had some nice plays in the run. They were trying to power rush Rodgers to keep him in the pocket because they felt like that was their best opportunity. So I don't think the guys had as much freedom as you'll see maybe this week because Phillip Rivers can't move. He moves like I do.
Roy Miller was top-ranked lineman, and then Malik was right behind him.
Yeah, Roy didn't get a lot of reps, though. There were a lot of nickel.
And said Derek Marks, followed by – you got to go way down. I mean,
but Pete,
did Fowler scratch?
But don't you agree?
I thought Fowler had a couple bull rushes though, where he actually pushed the tackle back.
No, it was okay. It was okay. He did what they asked him to do. Do you think they should not release those grades until they can watch all 22? Because I don't know how you grade.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you 100%. I would agree with you 100%.
And I don't know how you have all these guys.
That's why when I'm down here, we don't get to 22 until tomorrow. I have to ask you, how'd the 22 look? Because I watched the TV tape over again, but you can't see anything.
And I don't understand how you hold Aaron Rodgers under 200 yards, but you don't have any guys in the secondary that grade very high. Explain that to me. It's a mystery. It's one of the mysteries.
Well, not only that, you hold them to under 200 yards. You know, not only do you just not have any secondary players that rank very high, you also don't have any defensive down guys rank very high. So you can't stop the pass.
Yeah, it must have been a mystery.
Without down guys and secondary players doing, you know?
Get Stevie P on the phone because I have a problem. And there's no explanation to his nonsense.
We won't get him on the phone tonight, but we got plenty of other folks on the line waiting. Let's go to the phone line. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
JP, before we go to the calls,
yes.
I'm looking at myself up on the screen.
That's scary.
Go back to the other shot, Max.
Now you're directing
the
show.
That shot right there.
Yeah.
I got to do some bicep curls. My arms are way too – look, I mean, that's embarrassing.
Your arms are really getting skinny.
Yeah, I mean, it's like –
that's Dr. DPSO, DPSO, SSSO.
I got to get some gun work in.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking lean. I look good.
You look great.
I look good. Much better than you. I mean, you know, sitting next to you helps me, too. Look even better. But I got to get some gun work.
Why are you always attacking, man?
No, I'm not
There's
attacking.
Nothing wrong with me. I'm under 240 now. I weighed in today.
Okay. Whatever you say.
I'll drop you during the next commercial break. Let's go to Jake in Fruit Cove to get us started tonight. What's up, Jake?
You know I love you, JP.
Jake.
Hey, guys.
There we go. Buddy.
What's up?
Hey, good evening, guys. I don't understand that either. Because if you look across the league, even Cam Newton, who had a very poor game against the number one defense, I think threw for more than 200 yards. So I don't buy. And can I just say something real quick? It's a question, really, but here's what's bothering me about the whole pass rush. I like our defensive line. But here's one thing I don't understand. I keep hearing people say, our defensive ends. Let me ask y'all a question. What position does Clay Matthews play? What position does Nick Perry play? What position does Morgan Burnett play? Those guys got sacks, and they don't play the defensive end position.
Hold on. Now, you're right about Morgan Burnett, but you realize Nick Perry and Clay Matthews and Nickel, which they're in 60 to 70% of the time, do play defensive ends. They're stand-up defensive ends.
Do they put their hand on the ground? Because no. I saw him standing up yesterday.
Okay, yeah, Lawrence Taylor did too, but I considered him a defensive end. First of all, hold on now. Kevin Green, who went to the Hall of Fame, he rushed the passer. Those guys are pass rushers.
But you can get pressure on the quarterback. In fact, if your pass rusher is doing good, he's going to create gaps. How come we ain't sending Paul Puzlesny up that A gap?
They did. Did you not watch? They did. Miles Jack was on the sideline. It's hard to get to the A gap from the sideline. Paul Puzlesny blitzed. Telvin blitzed. They blitzed Jalen Ramsey twice. They blitzed.
Yeah, but that's Jalen Ramsey. How come you don't send one of your linebackers?
Did you not listen to what I just said? Did you not watch the game? Paul Puzlesny and Telvin Smith blitzed.
I don't see it enough. I'd like to see Miles Jack going in there.
Miles Jack was on the sideline again. It's hard to get to the A gap from the sideline.
That sounds like Leo.
Now you're being funny. And Tony Baselli, do me a favor, buddy.
That's Leo. Leo.
Pete Prisco knows something about football, okay? Let some other people talk on the radio, man. We know you was great and everything. Pete Prisco know about football. J.P. Shatter like to talk to, dude. Let somebody – stop sucking all the air out the room, man. Stop sucking all the air out the atmosphere, Tony.
Hey, listen. When you get your own
radio, I like this guy.
When you get your own radio station, you can produce it. Otherwise,
I like this guy. Hey, JP, I like this guy.
Leo's awesome.
He's awesome. I like Leo.
His name wasn't Leo, it was something else.
Jake from
But it's
Jake.
But Leo State calls Farm. In using different names.
I was going to say his name didn't sound familiar, but his voice did.
Yeah.
But he's wrong. They did blitz Buzz. They did blitz Telvin. And by the way, Nick Perry and Clay Matthews are defensive ends in that system, Pete. That's what they do. They rush the passer. They're standing up.
They stand up. Their defense. Yeah, they're 3-4 pass rushers.
And they go 4-2, just like the Jaguars do on third down or in the nickel.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Other people like to talk too, Tony. Remember that.
Now, they did. If Leo / Jake / Mitch / Scotty / whatever his name's going to be next week, if his point was he would like to see a lot more of it, more exotic stuff, more guys out of the secondary coming, because that's what – I mean, Dom Capers, but that's what he's known for. They bring the house. But it's not like they got there and created all – I mean, just so you know, Blake Bortles threw for 330.
Yeah, I watched.
Aaron Rodgers threw for 199. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, come on. We are 14 yards away from winning it. Poorly executed third down and, a questionable call, which I understand people want to question on fourth down. Fine. But you're 14 yards away from winning the game. I mean, I don't understand what five names, what his point was. I'll stop talking, Pete. Go ahead if you want to disagree with me.
Well, that's just it. They want me to have my show back again, so they want you to be quiet.
Go ahead, Pete. We'll go jump on Leo's side or Jake's side or whatever his name is.
Let's get one more in before the break. We go to John on the south side. What's up, John? John,
turn your radio
off.
Hello,
John. Are you there?
Hello?
John, hey, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
So I got issue with one of the comments Tony made earlier. He said Malik Jackson was the best defensive lineman that played yesterday. In my opinion, he played poorly. He was gassed from the get-go. He didn't even go in the game on the last drive. And that personal foul call might have cost us the game because we had him at 3rd and 18, and they converted a 3rd and 3. So just really disagree with how Jackson played. And also, he's gained 30 pounds since his Denver days. I don't know if you saw him at Denver or this year, but I don't know if the coach has asked him to gain the weight or what.
All right, thanks for the call.
I thought the personal foul was a little bit little quick hair. Yeah, ticky tack. I don't think that's a personal foul. I mean,
but it was.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not going to kill Malik Jackson for that. Really, what if you're going to do anything if the official there, you give one. It should have been two on Randall Cobb, one for the face mask, and then one because he bumped Malik first. And then, three penalties, two offset, the other goes back. However that works in the game. I don't even know if you throw that many flags how it works. So I'm not going to kill him. I thought what they asked Malik to do, I thought he was good against the run for the most part. They're going to rotate guys. So if you're going to kill him for being on the sidelines, they're going to rotate guys. That's what this league's about now. Go watch NFL football. They rotate. They rotate defensive linemen, especially when it's a heat index over 100 degrees.
Pete, what did you think of Malik's game yesterday?
One and more. I was expecting more, to be honest with you. I think Tony's right. It wasn't awful. It just wasn't great, and it needed to be better than that.
But I'm not saying I disagree with you, Pete, but name a guy on the defensive line who played better than Malik.
Nobody. I don't think anybody on the defensive line, quite frankly, played very well.
I thought they'd okay.
They're average.
I thought they'd pretty
They're good. Average.
But I'm pretty sure what I've heard is they asked them to push the pocket inside and try to collapse the pocket instead of, getting up the field one gap and allowing Aaron Rodgers to step up and use different lanes to run around. And while he did that some, he did it less than he usually does.
Right. I would agree with you.
So I'm not going to kill those guys for that. If that's what they're asked to do, you do what your coach asks you to do.
We'll come back. More of your calls. Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for details. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Perfectly placed ball. One of the first things I said to him was, that was a great pass. He's been able to drop some balls in there. See the other one he threw to Hearns on a double move. He's playing well. He keeps getting better. Keeps doing everything he can to put us in a good position and improve in his position and his craft. And that's all you can ask or expect of any of your teammates.
There's your tight end, Julius Thomas. Got a touchdown.
What a great throw that was. And a great job by Julius running underneath it. Outstanding play. I love the play call, the isolation, the recognition by Blake. The play call by Greg Olsen. I thought it was outstanding. That's what you need to be doing. Take advantage of that more often. If you can. Sometimes defenses don't give it to you. But I think you're going to get more of that because I do think with Allen Robinson and his effectiveness, you're going to see safeties cheat over the top to him more and more.
Yeah. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shatter, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. No, it's okay.
Jake slash Leo.
Jake from State Farm.
Mad that I'm sucking all the air up.
Right. Well, so that's what you do.
When he produces, he can fire.
He's got a good point, though.
A really good point.
Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah, after your monologue right there, yeah, I bet you do.
Pete, do you disagree with anything I said?
No.
Thank you.
I like that.
I know you like it. That's why I knew I was safe in saying that, because that's exactly how you like to play football.
Exactly. You got a mismatch, you create it, and you throw the football around.
Yeah, tight ends had a big...
Maybe if they had used something like that on the last play of the game, they might have won it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Tight ends had a big hand in yesterday's game, too. Mercedes had a couple of nice catches.
Yeah.
They threw to the tackle. That was amazing.
I think Mercedes is actually... I mean, I think he's running well.
He looked quicker.
Yeah.
Than maybe in the last 4 or 5 years.
I've said that all camp, Pete.
Yeah, he did. He looked quicker. I like that. That was a good play call. I like the design of that play. And you got the guards. I mean, both. You saw Can get out. You saw Linder was Linder who was out, and I think Parnell was down there. They all got, and Can got a block 25 yards down the field.
You know what would have been interesting on that fourth down play that you talk about, that, Pete? Because I think you do bring up a very good point. Is if you isolated either Allen Robinson or Julius on the backside with Trips to the other side, and if they want to blitz like that and just say, we're going for broke. We're going to take a chance. Our guy's better than your guy, and we're going to make a good throw and go get it.
And if you were going to, you know, have the Trips to one side and one of those guys isolated on the other, it's almost impossible. I mean, if they're going to bring guys, it's almost
– well, they can bring them, but then they're going to – you're going to be then isolation. If they go to coverage, then you can work your rub routes on the trip side.
Right.
Or yeah, you know what? I'd be leaning towards – that would – I think that's what I would have done.
So what you're saying is you want to make me the play caller?
No.
No.
Okay. That was a pretty good idea, though, Pete.
It made me think of it. When he first said it, because most of the things that he says are so irrational / crazy.
Right.
But when I brought up the Julius Thomas play after the sound, I hearkened back to that fourth down call. Interesting design.
Let's go to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Thomas is on the west side. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
I guess yesterday I had my fan overreaction, and today I was a little bit more level-headed about it. Just a few things that...
Okay, hold on, Tom, real quick. Stop real quick. Before you go any further, I want to hear your overreaction comments from yesterday. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear overreaction Tom the fan.
My overreaction comment would be the draw plays up the middle. You know, just after so many years of kind of seeing that, Denard Robinson being on the field, and then the biggest one would be Devon House being a liability. If you asked me yesterday, I would have said after week four, I think the starters would end up being Jalen, Prince, and Aaron.
Okay, now give me your rational fan thoughts from the day, and then I'll answer.
My rational fan thoughts of the day today is I think the defense played really solid. I understand why they had the defensive line play more of contain than, you know, getting up the field because of Aaron's escapability. And I actually thought that Sipp had a pretty good game, because I don't feel like we got gashed by the tight ends like we had in the past. So, like I said, the only thing that I still have a frustration about today would be more so the draw plays and then Denard. And that's all I had. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Right, Pete, what do you say, Pete?
Well, I thought, you know, like we mentioned earlier, I think the corners both played really well, or all three of them did, contrary to certain grades out there. And, you know, fans leave a stadium irrationally, Tony.
More crazy.
And then they go back and they settle in. You know, I'm down in South Florida, I was listening to talk radio down here today. You can't believe how the fans were today. And they have this little sound bite they play. When fans call in, they say, oh, I think this is a good sign that they played Seattle tight, and they play this soundbite of something like blind loyal fan or blind fan or something. And, you know, because these fans sometimes can go either way. Either they're overly critical and or they see the good and the bad. Now, you get mad because a team loses to a good team. Like you think they let one get away yesterday, and they did. And you don't really see a silver lining in it, you know. But sometimes you can see when you're a better football team, and they're a better football team, and they competed on that day. So there is a little silver lining, but you can't take a lot from it because you didn't win the football game.
What did you – give me your thoughts on Denard, Pete.
Denard Robinson?
Yeah. Unless there's another Denard on the team, I don't know.
Well, I just don't think – I just don't think he's good enough in blitz pickup for sure. I mean, that's a problem. And that play – you referenced that play, Tony. He got run over. Mm-hmm. And everybody else – and that was a sack, but everybody else was actually doing their job at that moment. And once he got run over, then Blake had to kind of move a little bit, and the whole thing
he
collapsed.
Moved
so,
yeah, he moved to the rush.
Yeah, yeah. So that wasn't good, and I don't know if he's a good enough instinctual runner. You know what I mean? For example, I think Yeldon's become a better runner, more decisive than he was a year ago. And you don't see that from Denard. There's nothing, you know, it's almost like you hand it to him and he's going to run into the pile. There's no decisiveness, no put your foot in the ground and make a cut. He's not very big either.
It'll be interesting to see if Dave Caldwell, the GM, does anything if it is deemed that Chris Ivory is going to be out for a while. And we don't know that. I mean, I have no idea. But if he is, do you think they go out and bring a Banyard back or Jonas Gray or some along those lines back that's more of a true running back? Cause you,
maybe.
Denard's always been viewed as that kind of slash guy, you know, space, scat back type. Mm-hmm. And so if Ivory's out for a while, Pete, I could see them maybe going and getting one of those guys.
Well, which one of those guys would be better in the blitz pickup? Because that's the most, you know, because you're the backup running back, that's kind of the most important thing. And he got caught in that situation where he was on the field. That was a critical play.
Yeah, it's
third
because
down?
And Yeldon was gassed because he ran the ball. You
right,
know.
Right. So that's where you really missed him there, I thought. You know, so, yeah, I'm with you, Tony. They might need to go get a regular full size. And I'm not dissing because I really like Denard, but they might need to get a running back.
Oh, Denard's one of my favorite players. I mean, but
sure.
At the same time, this isn't a popularity contest. This is about wins. Win ball games. Got to execute.
Because yeah, if it was a popularity contest, you would have never played, and they would have had you on the bench.
That's probably a fair comment. I got nothing to say to that, Pete.
But you were a hell of a player, so they had to keep you. Hey, by the way, I want to say this. During the broadcast yesterday, did you see what John Lynch said about you, Tony?
I saw a tweet from somebody who tweeted what he said.
He said, if you would have played, you would have been the greatest offensive lineman of all time.
Yeah, some if I wouldn't have got hurt, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
So I need, now that. I know who I'm trying to get on to the Hall of Fame committee. I need Pete on the committee. I need
Lynch.
John Lynch on the committee.
John Lynch is trying to get on the Hall
of Fame, too.
I know,
he's trying to. Great. John's a good friend. John and I have been working out together since we were in college. He was a Stanford guy, he was an SC guy, but my roommate in college ended up marrying John Lynch. His sister married John Lynch. And I would spend the summers in Del Mar with his family, because we all worked out at a place in Del Mar, and John Lynch is from Del Mar, California, and he worked at the same place. So we've known each other for 22 or 23 years. Great guy.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
He is a genuinely good dude.
So that's why he said it. He's known you for 22 years, not
well, maybe.
No, he said it because he meant it.
I know, I'm messing.
And I'll say this because I mean it. Of the two, Tony or John Lynch, and you had to pick one as a Hall of Famer. It's the guy sitting next to you, JP.
Ah,
thank you.
Tony was better at his position than John Lynch was at his.
Really? John Lynch was a hell of a player, though.
A good player.
But if you ask the majority of people in the National Football League, they'd answer that question. A lot of fans out there and people, they'd answer that question the other way.
Now, John Lynch was a hell of a player, though. You'd agree with that, Pete.
Good player. Yeah, really very, 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 very good player. Yeah. But, I mean, I could name three other safeties off the top of my head that aren't in the hall that I would put in.
I know one of them, Kenny Easley.
There's one. Then Jacksonville's own Leroy Butler is two, and then Darren Woodson is three.
All good players.
Yeah. That's a pretty good trio right there, those three.
Great players.
We'll come back in a moment and look around the AFC South yesterday. Mixed bag in the division. A little later we'll go around the entire National Football League, recap the games. Thanks for your calls tonight. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, and Tony Baselli's here, too.
Afterthought.
We'll look around the AFC South in this segment each and every week, and then we'll go around the National Football League and recap all the games. That's coming up, but let's start, gentlemen, with the exotic smash-mouth Tennessee Titans. Minnesota rallied with a pair of defensive scores, 25-16, the final, a win over the Titans. Adrian Peterson, though, shut down a little bit.
Did you watch that game at all, Pete?
I did.
How did it look?
Exotic smash-mouth football. Are you kidding me? Give me a break. You know what happened, Tony?
No.
They were winning 10-0. And they're playing their style of football. They run the ball, play defense, don't do a lot. And, you know, the Vikings have a backup quarterback in, clearly. So what they're doing is they're keeping it close. But then it went bad. They had a mistake. And then all of a sudden they start panicking. And when you play that way, you look up, you make a mistake, then you have another one, and Minnesota's up. You can't come out from underneath it. They're not built that way. And that's exactly what happened. They need to let Marcus Mariota become Marcus Mariota. Now, they'll look. You know what they'll do? They'll look at the stat sheet, and it'll say, he threw the ball 40 times or whatever, and they only ran it X amount of times because they didn't run it that much in the second half. Well, they fell behind, so they had to throw the football. But the way they're structured and built, they can't sustain winning with that, the way they're built. No way.
How long until Sean Hill is the star? I mean, until Sam Bradford takes Sean Hill's job at Minnesota?
You would think it would be this week. You would think.
Because they weren't very
good. It wasn't awful. He just wasn't that good. But Sam Bradford can drive the ball down the field better than Sean Hill can. So I think
it might
be
this week. Was Tennessee's defense that good? And they only give up 12?
No. Hill missed some shots, and, yeah, they weren't very good. Now, Tennessee did a nice job in the run game, but they were not that good. I think this week you go to them because they play the Packers this week. That's a big early game for both teams, so I think they do go to them.
So after watching our game and the Titan game, thoughts. No, before you give me that, don't say that. Let's go over the AFC.
We'll go the rest
games,
of the
and then I want
other
to get
two
Pete's
teams,
overall
we'll
thoughts.
Get,
yeah,
each week we'll get a bearing
a
of
rating.
Where the Jaguars
stand. I want you to you're gonna do power rankings of the AFC South after we hear all the games. Go ahead.
I like this. Okay. The Prisco power rankings. The Houston Texans had 5 sacks on defense, but none from J.J. Watt. They beat the Chicago Bears 23-14. What do you think of the Houston Texans Bulls on parade, Pete?
They did some really impressive stuff, I'll be honest with you. And I thought the quarterback who came in as a question was pretty solid. Not great, but pretty solid.
Fuller's good, huh?
I think really good. The one thing that you noticed about the Texans a year ago, Tony, is they didn't have a lot of speed on offense. Fuller, Braxton Miller, who only caught a pass, and Lamar Miller add speed to a team that badly needed it. So, yeah, I think they're a faster team. I think that'll help them. But more than that, though, defensively, J.J. Watt, we wondered if he'd be all the way back, Tony. He's not. He clearly wasn't all the way back, but he played. But the other guys picked up the slack. Clowney got a sack. Merciless got two. They got another one for blitz. I think they had 5 sacks of color. So defensively, they're going to be good. They did lose Cushing, who, you know, suffered a knee injury again, and that's going to be a problem for him. But because Max Bolla takes over, he's not nearly the same player. But I thought, all in all, pretty good day for the Texans. Faster on offense. And they're going to be pretty good on defense.
In fairness now, the Bears aren't any good.
No, they're not. And the Bears were winning that game.
And they're not very good up front either.
No, the Bears were winning that game for most of the game, too. I mean, you got to.
And Jay Cutler holds on to the ball forever.
Right. But they were winning the game. So, they can. Let's put it this way. I'm not going to sit here and say the Texans are the best team in the division.
Hold on. You can't go there yet. Hold on.
No, yeah, we
all right.
Colts first. Let's go.
All right, so the Indianapolis Colts lost at home to Detroit 39-35, a game-winning field goal with 8 seconds to play. That was after Andrew Luck had scored a touchdown, and then a safety on the last play made it a 4-point difference. 39-35, the Colts lose a heartbreaker at home, Pete.
And they're pathetic on defense, with a capital P. I mean, they are awful. They can't rush the passer. They can't cover anybody. I mean, the Lions did whatever they wanted to. And, you know, Andrew Luck was fantastic yesterday. Fantastic. They tied the game on a 97-yard drive. He went bing, bing, bing right down the field. But when you look at that defense, they're going to be in shootouts every single week with the way they're structured. Now, they get Vontae Davis back. That'll help. But for the most part, That's a really, really bad defensive football team.
Where? How was the line for the Colts? I know that was a big line? That was a big question going in because Luck got hit in the preseason quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I thought they were pretty good. They weren't great, but they were pretty good. They were, you know, you got Ziggy Ansah on that defensive line. They kept him sackless. So I think the line, I still think the right tackle's bad, Reitz. I think Good will be okay at right guard eventually. Ryan Kelly's going to be a good center. Muhart played, and that was big. And Costanza didn't play as well last year, but I thought he played better yesterday. Just looking off, just watching it. I haven't really gone back and watched it over again. But I think the line was okay, Tony. They'll be fine.
All right. We've gone over all three division games. Pete Prisco will sell this segment, brought to you by Tony Buscelli this year week. Give us the Pete Prisco AFC South power rankings after week one.
One Houston, two Jacksonville, three Indy, four Tennessee.
Tennessee at the bottom.
What's the gap between Jacksonville and Houston?
Slim. Really slim. I mean, if you had flipped the opponents, Jacksonville would be 1-0 and Houston be 0-1.
So
it's slim.
About the same.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, but again, this week is very telling for me.
I think it's huge. And I know, are we getting into the round of league or can we talk about next week first? How
Let's
do you
talk
do
about
this?
Next week right now.
Let's talk about next week.
Yeah.
I think it's a gigantic game for a week two game. I think it's huge, Pete.
I do too, Tony, and it sets up poorly for Jacksonville because it's a long trip after a tough loss for a young team against a team that's wounded at home. That's
without their best player on offense besides their quarterback.
I agree. That's tough, though.
Who's going to throw
really
the ball to?
Travis Benjamin. Two tight ends to get the Henry kid on the field.
They got problems. The line's just okay.
Defense? Better than it was a year ago.
Yeah. Well, that's
defense, average. They have no business blowing that game yesterday. That's hard to overcome that, right? I mean, it's hard to get past that when you have limited weaponry and you're not that good. But, again, I think it sets up poorly for Jacksonville. Initially, I thought it was going to be a bad game for Jacksonville. Now I'm not so sure. And they're favored by – the Chargers are only favored by 3, which is kind of weird.
That's a pick'em game, basically, because the home team gets 3 off the top.
Yeah, but it is. I'm with you, Tony. I think it's an important game for Jacksonville. They have to find a way to win that game.
Pete, I think if the Jaguars would have won this game,
they lose at San Diego.
They lose at San Diego. I think because of how they played and how they lost, and the taste in their mouth, and them believing they're a better team, that they should have won that game. I think they go out to San Diego with a chip on the shoulder. I think they're focused. And I think San Diego coming off that game is going to be like, no Keenan Allen. I think it sets up – because I was with you, Pete. I picked them to lose this game early. I just got a sense that this team is in a different state of mind after the way they lost that game. And I think they're better than San Diego all the way around.
Let me ask you this. Is it a major red flag if they go out there and get beat for the rest of the season?
Major no. Is it concerning? Yes.
Okay.
Because I think they're better. I think they're better at almost every position except the quarterback. They're better at offensive line. They're better at running back if Ivory's healthy. They're 1-2 punch. They're better at wide receiver, especially no Keenan Allen. You know, tight end is a coin flip because now Antonio Gates is a Hall of Famer, but he's not no spring chicken. Defensive line, I think they're better. Linebacker, they're better. And their secondary's better than San Diego's. I mean, I think they're a better football team. And so, you know, okay, you're traveling to the West Coast. Who cares? You're a better team. It's a 5-hour flight. My goodness, what's the big deal?
Are they going out on Friday?
Yeah.
So that'll help.
I don't know if that helps, Pete. I mean, listen, we left on
you're a big.
We left on Saturday.
Yeah, but if your team's better, it doesn't really matter. You know,
that's why I don't think it matters. If you're better and you're good, you can leave Sunday morning and get there for kickoff, and you're going to win.
Is it better to go play a team that lost the way they did at home, or to go play a team that won that game? I mean, for example, would you rather face the Chargers that they won that game?
I like playing the teams I'm better than.
Well, they're better than San Diego.
That's my point. No, San Diego's going to be ready. They're led by Phillip Rivers, who's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he's going to be – they're going to be – he's feisty.
He'll be ready.
No matter what. Yeah.
I don't know who he's going to throw it to.
Right. That's a problem.
Yeah, well, this team has seen that firsthand. A lot of these guys – I mean, the last –
Oh, they got torched.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. You almost feel sorry for Rivers over the years. How many times has his line got hurt or his receivers got hurt or somebody's got hurt? He's always faced with that, and yet he always stands in there and makes plays, you know?
Yep.
I think this team's going to be ready, Pete, where if they'd have won, feeling good about themselves and flying across the country, young team, how do they handle success this early? I might have been a little bit – The feeling I get is this is a Jaguar team that's ready to go.
Calling all Jacksonville runners. Don't miss the Stash Dash 5K at Everbank Field.
I should read that. Give me that.
Read it right there.
Which one are we reading?
That one right there. Underlined.
All right. Calling all Jacksonville runners. All of us not named JP. Don't miss the Stash Dash 5K at Everbank Field on Saturday, October 15th. Registration includes race entry and a ticket to the Jaguars-Raiders game, which is going to be an outstanding game. Two very young, up-and-coming teams in the AFC. Sign up today at jaguars.com/ – or is that a forward slash? I never know.
Say slash.
Slash Stash Dash. And you spell Stash, S-T-A-C-H-E.
We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
And we continue with our look around the National Football League in week one. We start off with the Buccaneers. A win over the Falcons, 31-24. Jameis Winston, four scoring plays to four different targets, guys.
And the catch
he was
by,
outstanding.
Yeah, he was very good. The catch by Mike Evans in the end zone was, wow, what a catch.
They still have defensive problems, and so do the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons aren't very good on defense. Can't rush the passer, get nothing from Vic Beasley. That's going to be a season-long problem for him, and they're going to be in a lot of shootouts. So,
Will Vic Beasley be a bust, Pete?
Maybe. You know, there were a lot of people who thought he might have bust potential when he came out. Tony, Jameis Winston was fantastic, and he's going to – I'm telling you what, that kid's getting better and better. He's going to end up being one of the better quarterbacks in this league.
I said it when they were both being drafted. Jeff Loggeman and I had this argument all the time. JP was there. He said he liked Mariota, and I said I'd pick Jameis Winston all day long. I think Jameis Winston – not that I don't think Mariota's going to be a good pro. He is going to be. But I thought Jameis Winston would be a star.
He's not allowed. Mariota's not allowed to do anything. That's the problem.
No, I agree with that. But I'm saying, even if he, I just think, in today's NFL, a guy who can sit in the pocket, buy time in the pocket, and make all the throws, and a gym rat, bona fide leader, has the it factor. I just think Jameis is going to be really good.
I'm with you.
The Bills had 160 yards of offense and looked terrible against the Ravens, who beat them 13-7.
And I don't think that Ravens team's that good. Number one, they're very old. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, I know he had the year last year, a nice year. I don't think they're great offensively. Sammy Watkins got banged up. He might be out for a while now. I'm doing that game Thursday night up there for Thursday Night Football on the radio. So we'll see. But Rex Ryan could be.
He's in trouble.
Yeah, he's in big trouble.
How long does he have there, Pete? If he doesn't
turn it depends
around.
If they get this thing turned around. You know, the one thing we thought about them was that they would have problems on defense. Remember, they were without Shaq Lawson. They're without Reggie Ragland, who's out for the year. They're without Marcell Dareus, who's suspended. They regressed last year on defense. And so you thought they'd have a problem on defense. And Joe Flacco threw for 188 in the first half now. And they did settle down in the second half. The problems were on offense. And they went and paid Tyrod Taylor a bunch of money. And he threw for 111 yards. That has to be concerning moving forward. And Tony, you talk about Thursday night's game. The Jets had seven sacks against the Bengals, and, you know, this is a chance for them. It's not the same because they blew the playoff game, chance to go to the playoffs last year at Buffalo at the final week of the season, but this is a chance for them to go up there and win a game. I think the Jets will win the game. I think Buffalo's reeling.
Where do they get the sacks from, the Jets? Because that's a good offensive line for them.
Leonard Williams had 2.5.
Who are they beating
Leonard
up?
Williams. Bodine's not very good for the Bengals in the middle.
Right.
And they had a couple missed. It looks like missed assignments on a couple of the plays, it looked like to me.
Leonard Williams is a good player. Guy is a good player.
The Bengals still won it with 7 sacks against them, though.
Dalton was really good.
Yeah.
Really
Darrell
good.
Revis still hasn't covered A.J. Green.
No, but on the touchdown, Tony, people blamed Darrell Revis for the touchdown. That wasn't his fault. He was in a zone coverage.
No, but he had 12 catches, Pete.
I know. But you see the safety come way up, and he threw over the top.
Now, listen, Darrell Revis, future Hall of Famer. I'm just giving him a hard time.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game, though. Revis Island, as we know it, is dead, by the way. It's sunk.
We touched on this game, but the Chiefs rallied from a 17-point fourth-quarter deficit to win in overtime 33-27.
Pete, did I hear correctly that was Alex Smith's first fourth-quarter comeback ever, or just as a Chief?
It might be just as a Chief. I didn't see that.
I thought I saw something. It might have been on Twitter, and one of those people just being a smart, you know what.
Right. I can't imagine that.
That didn't sound right to me.
No, it doesn't sound right at all.
He played great, though.
He was good, really good. And that's a meltdown. You're up in the 24-3.
The NFL.
I thought it was 24-3, fourth quarter.
Yeah, but the fourth quarter, they were up 17. You got to win that game.
The Raiders, Jack Del Rio, gambling Jack goes for 2 in the win, and they beat the Saints 35-34.
If that's not Jack Del Rio's personality, I don't know what is. And granted, I don't like it. I wouldn't have done it. But that's who he is, and he did it.
Was it irrational, Pete?
It was. It's not by the book.
I'm asking. Is it irrational? Did he get caught up in the emotion?
No, because he was going to go for it no matter what.
Okay, so was Gus.
Because one's a 2-point play, and one's going fourth and 5 from the 48, Tony. Your own 48.
Guess what?
That's irrational.
If it doesn't work on the play Gus Bradley had, the game's not over. If it doesn't work for Jack Del Rio, the game's over.
Either way, it wasn't crazy.
I wouldn't do it. That's I wouldn't do true. Either one of them. I'll be honest with you.
But you're
I don't
saying,
like putting it on one. I don't like putting it on one play.
But so are you saying Jack Del Rio is irrational?
That was irrational.
Okay, making sure. Emotionally irrational.
Would you go for 2?
Boy, they hadn't stopped Drew Brees in a long time.
They didn't stop him. But you know, in vintage, typical Raiders fashion, though, they get the 2-point play and then they get a 15-yard celebration penalty. So Jedikowski had to kick off 15 yards further back. So
they almost lost the game for that, right?
Yeah, because the guy, well, he actually made it. He kicked the heck out of the ball on the kickoff, but the guy almost made a 61-yard field goal.
Yeah, not good.
Robert Griffin III on IR with a shoulder injury. Wentz for the Eagles looked good, though. A couple touchdowns. Eagles over the Browns 29-10. RG3 can't get a break.
RG3 era. Over before it started.
No, it's done. He's on IR. North Dakota State plays South Dakota, North Dakota, and everything. He saw better defensive players in that conference than he did on the Cleveland Browns yesterday. I mean, that
were they
defense
bad?
Is awful. Oh, they're awful.
Did you watch any of it?
Yeah, they have barely any talent on that defense. It's a bad defense. And he did some nice things. He's going to be a good player, but there's no way he should step onto the field and do exactly that. I mean, he dropped one in the bucket. It was a nice throw, but, yeah, the Browns are bad. It's a bad team.
Let's move quickly through the 3 remaining games. Seahawks over the Dolphins, 12-10. Wilson's ankle okay?
Well, he might miss some time, it looks like.
And no, Carroll came out today, said he's fine.
Yeah, but then there's other people say he's going to be – you know how coaches are. They lie all the time, Tony. Come on, you know better than that. He took some hits yesterday. That line's not very good at all. And Gary Gilliam's playing right tackle, not very good. The left tackle's Bradley Sowell, S-O-W-E-L-L, who isn't very good at all. You've seen him in the backup in Arizona. The right guard wasn't there, so Jermaine Effetti, the rookie, didn't play. So they played Jamarcus Webb at right guard, Tony. They're not very good up front. That's going to be a season. They couldn't run it. They couldn't throw it. They were struggling until the final fourth quarter. If they don't hit a 4th-and-4 play, they lose that game to the Dolphins. Dolphins played pretty good on defense and went ahead. Tannehill made a drive to go ahead, but then they couldn't hold them.
Eli threw 3 touchdowns. Giants over the Cowboys 20-19. Good-looking day for Eli there.
Eli's good. The offense is good. Their defense is better. They're the best team in the East.
They're winning the
East. You think they'll win the East?
Yes.
I do, too. I'm with you.
Garoppolo, 264, a touchdown. The Arizona kicker missed a field goal late. Patriots win.
Biggest shock of the weekend for me.
Me too. But you got to give big, 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 big props to Mr. Belichick.
Heck, I mean what a great job coaching.
Yep. Yeah, he took away the deep ball, Tony, and the Cardinals got frustrated by it. They weren't patient, and you could see it on their faces. They were getting irritated by it. That's why he's the best coach maybe ever, right there.
Monday Night Football, one game underway. Second quarter is about to begin in Washington. The Redskins lead the Steelers 6-0. And then later, out on the West Coast, the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. Who you got in both, Pete?
I picked the Steelers in this one and the Rams in the second one. And the Steelers are driving to go ahead right now. So I'm not a big believer in Kirk Cousins.
I had Steelers and 49ers.
You picked the 49ers, huh?
Yeah, Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine train.
I'm on the Blaine train.
You're on the Blaine train. You're on the Blaine train. I like it.
There you have it.
It's in San Francisco, right?
Yes.
It is.
Are you sold on Case Keenum?
No, but I think the 49ers, the Rams are better on defense, so, and they got Gurley.
Guys, well done. Pete, good talking to you. We'll do this again next week. How about it?
Yes, we will.
It's always great. It's always great to see you, Pete, even if it's over the worldwide
7-6. Antonio Brown touchdown, by the way.
Oh,
7-6.
Breaking news.
Great job,
Pete Briscoe, Tony Buscelli, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman. I'm JP Shadrick. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.